Blog Talk Radio.
Dez Bryant isn't happy with his contract status, and he's ready to put his money where his mouth is. The Cowboys wideout says he is considering not playing in the regular season opener unless he is signed to a long-term contract by July 15th, telling the NFL Network, quote, "This is no rumor, it's legit." Bryant hasn't signed his franchise tag, which would guarantee him nearly $13 million next season. The Cowboys' leading receiver caught 88 passes for 1,350 yards and 16 touchdowns in 2014. The 49ers have had a tumultuous offseason.
Wait, what? The 40? Get out of here with that. This is a everybody, June 15th, a cloudy, overcast June 15th here in upstate New York, but it's still a beautiful day to talk Cowboys. It's always a beautiful day to talk Cowboys. This is another Cowboy 90 Minute Monday. You're listening live with Dustin and Chris, and we've got a lot on the plate today. Another jam-packed show. We've got Dez Bryant. I labeled him, if you read the agenda, Diva Dez. Now, y'all can shoot me for that if you want, but Diva Dez. We got Talk is Cheap, a coach worth keeping. And then we've got a little bit of around the league impact. It's something that we like to do. So, bear with us for that if you want to turn it off or something like that. Because, you know, but just bear with us. We got good opinions. Dustin Bourque on the line. How are you today, good sir?
Doing pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good myself, Dustin. So we had heard the Dez Bryant clip in the beginning. Regarding the holdout and the potential that he wants to hold out, which is crazy, for the season opener, okay, against arch rival New York. If he does not get his franchise, if he does not get a long-term deal by, I think it's July 15th, do you think Dez actually goes through with this?
All right, so, I think because of this new representation, I think he does go through with it, because I think it's all about, I don't know, making a statement at this point. You know, he left his longtime agent, signed with Roc Nation, and it seems like it's been going downhill ever since that moment. Pretty much, our communication just broke down. Now, as far as does he actually go through with it, yeah, I think he does go through with it. Because realistically, I know it's an arch rival, but of all the teams in this division, if there were any, it would be Washington and New York that we could have, like, a suck-out, decent game without a top player. And it's not because of on paper, because on paper, yeah, it's Eli, and he's got two great wide receivers, and it looks difficult. But it's more about there's just something about it. Games against the Giants, they either overlive up to the hype or they don't live up at all, and it's a blowout one way or the other. So, I mean, I
think
he does go through.
Do you think we could beat the Giants without those?
I do, but that's only because I buy into our entire wide receiver core, just like we've talked about shows in the past. You know, I think if Dez sits, all right, well, I guess it depends on how you look at it, because you could say that Terrence Williams and Cole Beasley are a product of Dez being on the other side and so much attention being looked at. So maybe if Dez isn't there, maybe Beasley isn't as good, maybe Williams isn't as good. But to be honest with you, I'm a big pay-the-guy. I'm a big pay-the-guy person. I think he needs a contract. I think it's absolutely just blasphemous that he doesn't have a contract yet. But so I'm personally on his side. So when, you know, you post it to our page, Diva Dez strikes again, I don't look at it that way. I look at it as this guy puts his body on the line. He knows he's one of the most athletic. You know, he's going to put his entire heart and soul on the line every play. Why wouldn't you want a long-term deal? Of course you do, because you know that injuries are possible. He doesn't want that guaranteed $12.8 million. because who gives a crap? What's your career worth? A lot more than $12.8 million. So if he tears his ACL, something goes down, that contract is going to play an important part. I agreed with what he said. These owners, the NFL, make billions of dollars, and they can't give a little bit back to the guys that are actually putting butts in seats. I think
there's a salary cap.
I'm upset that he has to get this far.
There's a salary cap, though. I mean, when you look at, you know, the money that we have, they're not going to rewrite the CBA for one player. You know,
I
think the reason why
they're
doing this
need to work other guys' contracts, Brent, like Carr. Like, aren't we going
to? Well, they will,
but
to give Dez the money he wants, they're going to have to rework a lot of people for a lot of money, and that's going to create a little bit of animosity within the locker room. I mean, if you take, you know, $20 million off of Carr's deal, you know, $10 million off of Tony's deal, you know, $3 million off of Terrence Williams, yeah, you keep taking stuff down here, boom, 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 off of the other players, they're going to say, whoa, wait a minute, why am I getting, you know, I didn't hold out, I came, I showed up, I performed, you know, this guy is being nothing but, you know, a pain in the you-know-what. Why is he being rewarded for this? And that's going to create that animosity a little bit. Whereas you look at what Dallas is doing, I wholeheartedly believe, you know, if I was the general manager, I'd say, Dez, listen, you know, you're making almost $13 million yet. Making $13 million this year, rather. Why, you know, just sign the damn thing. Next year, the CBA recircuits again. We have the salary cap changing over. We'll give you your money next year. We'll even put it in writing that we'll give you your money next year. Play for $13 million this year, okay, and go forward with it. Because if we give you a contract right now, we can't give you anything guaranteed. You know, we can't give you anything long-term. So if I'm Dez, why put yourself in Dez's shoes. Why is he holding this team hostage if he claims he wants to be a Cowboy for life? It's his hometown. It was his childhood team. You know, why?
I don't know. I'm not looking at it from the same, I don't know, apparently from the same playing field. Because like I said, this is not about, you know, holding a team hostage. It's not about any of that. The guy showed up for one of the OTAs when he didn't even have to kind of like, you know, send a message to the team, I'm here. It's just an ugly, bloody process. And, you know, I have to do what I have to do for myself, for my family. And I don't know, man. The way I look at it is you look at his production. He's entering his sixth year. His production in the past 3 years is comparable to three of the all-time great wide receivers, Marvin Harrison, Jerry Rice, and Terrell Owens. He's putting up numbers. He is the Dallas Cowboys. He's been, it's like what you said, then, you know, Deion Sanders almost ruins his life by, you know, the whole tampering BS before the draft happens, and then somehow he ends up making his way to the Dallas Cowboys. So, whatever, and now he's wearing Michael Irving, the playmaker's number, so he's wearing 88. I'm pretty sure that everybody understands that Dez Bryant is one of the faces of the Dallas Cowboys. I'm just saying...
He's not the face right now.
No, because I think that the face right now is the quarterback, and that's just because that's the most important position on the team. And then if you're going to
But unfortunately, around the league, he's the one with egg on his face, though. He's the one everyone likes to make fun of. I think if you think of the biggest weapon and the biggest, you know, X factor, ironically, on the Cowboy team, you're thinking of Dez Bryant, though, if you're outside the team, you know?
I get that, and I think it's mainly because he's an emotional guy and he wears his emotions on his sleeve. But the reason why I love it is also passion in there, and there's a fire that we need on this team. Because if this team consisted strictly of Jason Garrett, Tony Romo's, and Jason Witten's, I don't think we'd be winning a lot of football games. Because I think when it came down to it, and when you had to pull something out, you know, and you really needed that fire in you, and you needed that guy to just jump up and dominate the corner and get a catch. Yeah, it was a catch. That guy's going to make that happen. Not the Tony Romo's and the Wittens of the world. I love Witten, but I don't see Witten making that jump ball catch against Green Bay in that last case scenario. No way, man. There's a reason why Tony Romo on fourth and two, bad, bad, bad idea, But there's a reason why Romo threw up a 25-yard bomb to Dez, and it's because he trusts this guy to go up and get it. So pay him. Pay him.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm a little more of a realist. I mean, I look at it from this perspective. You know, you can't pay him. Okay? You can't give him money that's not there. Okay, now, I mean, I don't have a Dallas Cowboy checkbook. I don't know exactly what Jerry Jones is willing to do, or is able to do, but back in the day, he used to do this. He used to throw stupid money at big-time guys. Now, of course, Dez, like you just mentioned, is worth it, but the management is now doing everything that we complained about management used to do. We used to complain that they used to just throw dumb money around and make stupid financial decisions. Now we're praising management for doing, you know, for not taking Manziel and taking, you know, Zach Martin. We're praising management for giving small contracts and reworking Carr to get Scandrick done. But yet it's a double-edged sword because now we're brandishing them for not paying Dez, who's being a diva. That's what he's being.
I don't know. I'm assuming you and I just aren't going to agree on this.
If Dez played for a different team, if Dez played for, the Raiders or something like that, okay? And
Derek Carson,
same
production,
same everything. He did not play for our team. Well, I'm just saying, if Dez played for any other team in the league except for our team and started pulling this, okay, wouldn't you be telling me, oh, man, that guy's such a jerk, man. He's such an idiot. You know, why is he doing this? Just make your $12 million and get your money next year. What are you doing? But because it's a team that we love so much, you know, we doing my money. But don't you agree, though? Don't you agree that Dez would be looked at as a diva on any other team by us? I mean, he is by me anyway.
I think your mic went in and out a little bit, but I got the general idea of what you're saying to me. The whole point I'm trying to make is I've always been on the side of the players, not just the Dallas Cowboys. I've seen a lot of this stuff go down over the years, and I've always said, good, I hope they get their money. I praise guys like Tom Brady that make their money in other ways other than on the field, so when they can, they do give back to the team. Tom Brady's restructured that deal I don't know how many times, and we don't know how many times he's gotten a free house out of it or had his whole kitchen remodeled off the books by Mr. Kraft, but he does what he has to do to give that franchise cap flexibility and et cetera. Now, there aren't always going to be Tom Brady's on every team that are willing to do that, but my whole thing is players that aren't going to take advantage however Tom Brady's that aren't going to do that, they need to get every penny they can on the field and now, because just like I said, tomorrow's not guaranteed. You know, Dez could sign that franchise deal, right? He'll sign it, 12.8 in his pocket guaranteed. First game, gets his knee shredded, then he's done. He can't come back from it. I'm not saying that's how it goes, but that's just what happened, right? That's the hypothetical. The doctors say you're never playing football again. He just gave his career away for $12.8 million instead of 7 years, whatever, $56 million guaranteed, blah, 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 blah. I don't care what it's going to be. I'm just saying of all the players on the Dallas Cowboys that deserve a long-term, multi-year deal with guaranteed money, I want it to go in Dez Bryant's pocket. Not Brandon Carr, not Sean Lee, as much as I love Sean Lee. Even, you know, I agree. Tony Romo, give him some guaranteed money, whatever, because the quarterback is the most important, you know, position on the field. But, man, I just can't see it. The sources are saying he's going to try to pull the whole Emmett Smith thing. Back in 93, Emmett Smith sat out the first two games to send the message to the Cowboys. Cowboys go 0-2. And then what happened? Smith was signed right away. Now, it's different today because you can't sign contracts in the middle of the season anymore. But, I mean, 93, there's a huge difference with that. They were the defending NFL champions, okay? So if you want to posture to an owner, you at least have something. You can be like, dude, we won it all last year. You're gonna tell me that you're gonna go and repeat without me? Really? Okay, fine, I'll sit back. We didn't do any of that, so it's a little bit difficult for Dez to sit here and, you know, put everything on hold and, you know, and be like, well, you know, I'm gonna stick my chest out and you're gonna have to pay me before I step on the field. Otherwise, no more 12-4 seasons once. So I mean, I don't know where you stand other than, you know, you're team friendly and this, that, and you want the salary cap to work, but
no,
dude,
I'm not team friendly. I'm Super Bowl friendly, but I also hate this crap whenever I see it on other teams. I'm always like, oh man, the guy is, you know, what a jerk, you know. And now it's on my team, and I'm like, oh crap, the one player that gives us hope, you know. It's like, but here's what the thing. We might be having a potential caller here in a second, which would be great. Robert Mercier comments on our page. Robert, thank you very much. He agrees with you. He says Dez is doing the right thing by holding out. Now, hopefully he'll call in and give us his reason why. If he does not, I will explain his reason why. But apparently, apparently Dustin, you know, the guy, D's agree with each other. Dustin, Dez, and now obviously Robert is agreeing with you as well. I don't understand it. I mean, we have to move on in a couple of minutes, but I just want to say, you know, Dez, come on, man. I mean, if you ever, by any chance, in the grace of God, hear this show, just take the money. You know, just take the $13,000, which is more money than pretty much anybody for a one-year type thing in the league, and play out your, you know, play out your season. Put another chapter legacy on your career. Go help us win a Super Bowl and make your long-term 10-year deal next year. Okay, I mean, does it really make a lot of difference to you if you make it now or make it then?
I'm telling you, man, every day that you waste and you potentially injure and one dirtbag, you know, James Harrison-type player or whoever the guy is that tore Brady's ACL, yeah, whatever, man. Those guys are out there now, and we've seen more chop blocks and more. Yeah, we've seen more chop blocks and more low hits than ever before because everyone's being taught go low instead of high because of the concussions. Dude, football players were interviewed years ago, and they said, "I would much rather take a shot to the head than to these knees because they know that usually the career's over if you get the shot to the knees versus if it's the head, they know they only have to deal with it down the line." Now, is that the smartest thing? No, but that's what they've said. Look at Robert Mercier. If he doesn't call in, I like what he said, though. Look at Jerry Jones. Wouldn't think twice to trade him away. Today we hear the NFL refer to themselves as a brand, which is indicative of the fact that these players aren't valued. They're assets. He's playing the best of football of his career. He needs to make sure that he takes care of his brand, his family. When teams win championships and become chronically successful, don't ticket prices go up. Huge point there. This is the same thing as not accepting a job somewhere because you think the salary or hourly wage is not worth your time. I mean, he makes a lot of valid points, man. I agree with him, and I'm glad he's listening, and I'm glad that he likes what I say, at least. So that's 1-0, Dustin.
Well, you know what, Dave? You can tell him in person, well, sort of in person, how much you agree with him, because I'm assuming this is Robert. Robert, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm reading over your thing here. You commented on our Facebook page. I was sort of skimming through it a little bit while I was listening to Dustin, and you think he's doing the right thing by holding out for this money?
So when I say he's doing the right thing by holding out, I'm not necessarily talking about that he's holding out to, like, rightly so, to be the highest paid wide receiver in the NFL. I think that's a different discussion. But as far as any player who's not satisfied with the money that they're getting in a contract year, especially somebody who's a high-caliber player like Dez Bryant, I'm not even a Cowboys fan. I'm barely a football fan, but I know who he is. He
okay.
plays real football. So if this is the kind of caliber player that feels like he's being undercut when he's playing some of the best football of his life, I think he needs to do what he needs to do to make sure that when he's 48 years old and he's been done playing football for a while, that he doesn't look back and go, boy, I missed out on the prime money in my career because I was with the Cowboys and Jerry Jones told me no.
Hmm. I mean, yeah, I'm with you there, but I also you also got to look at it from a business standpoint, though, too. I mean, why would they give him some – he wants to be – Dez has said several times he wants to be, you know, the highest-paid receiver ever. And we just can't do that right now financially. We're willing to work with him. We didn't give him the franchise tag out of spite. We didn't say, Dez, you caught, you know, a league leading in touchdowns, and you were, you know, I forgot exactly what the numbers were, but, you know, 13 touchdowns or something crazy last year, and we're going to do this just say, screw you. We did it because we need to set money aside to sign other guys to help build this team, build other positions, get a defense, get some more pieces on offense. And, you know, that's why we did it. And we're going to pay him next year, I hope, I think. But, you know, I don't think that by him causing this much of a distraction right now, when we're in the midst of a possible Super Bowl run, I mean, I can't wrap my head around it. You guys seem to think it's the right thing. I can't wrap my head around it.
Well, so I'll see your business scenario, and I'll raise you one. It absolutely is a business. It's more of a business for Dez Bryant than it is for Jerry Jones. Dez Bryant is his own business. He's his own brand. He's his own person. Jerry Jones has got himself 31 other NFL owners, an NFL shield, and all of the inner workings of Jerry Jones' cronies and everybody else that they have. As far as it being a distraction to all athletes, if you're distracted by somebody holding out to do their own business, then I think you probably have a focus problem as far as a professional athlete goes. I play recreational sports, and just because somebody doesn't show up for any given reason doesn't mean I'm looking around on the field or whatever I play looking for them because I'm distracted that they're not there. So I find it hard to believe that, you know, Tony Romo's losing sleep over the fact that Dez Bryant's holding out. I think as a player, as individual players, I think they all get it. I think if you were to get 90% of those of his locker room, of his teammates, in a closed door and ask them how they felt, I'm sure that they would probably agree. Would you want somebody who feels unfulfilled, like running your post pattern on like a 30-yard attempt? Or would you want the guy who feels like he's putting in solid work, has a desire to be the highest paid wide receiver in the NFL, and will put in the work to do that, running that route? I'm going to take the guy who's working his ass off and is willing to lay out for a ball than somebody who feels unfulfilled and is just showing up there for a paycheck that they feel is less than what they deserve. Who would you rather have on the field?
To be honest with you, I want to win. I would rather have Dez regardless. I mean, you know.
Right. So build around him in the future. Give him the money that they've got the money for him now. Like I said,
you know that.
I don't follow football like a ton, but I watch it when the season's going. And if I had a dollar for every time I heard somebody from the Cowboys organization say, we can't give this person this much money because we need to build next year, Tony Romo is getting old. He deserves a championship. Dez Bryant's a stud. Stop putting all this crap off and invest your money into the people that you have now. Stop investing into this fake future that may never even come. Look what happened to Peter Chiarelli of the Bruins. He kept going for what's going to happen next. Guy gets canned, trades away the best player in the league. The Cowboys are like, they're close to being there. You really want to lose Dez Bryant because you didn't offer him enough money and somebody else was like, yeah, that's easy for me to do. I'm going to take that.
I hear you. Dustin, you have to weigh in on this real quick. We are up against it. We do got to move on, but you both make valid points. Do you have anything in closing about this?
Thanks, Robert, for calling in. I appreciate his input. I agree with him, and I'm saying right now that if we don't pay him, somebody else will, because that's the type of league it is. You know, if we're not valuing his talent and abilities, I have no doubt in my mind that he'll go somewhere and make an instant impact. So I really don't want to see. Yeah, exactly. What team do you root for, Robert?
I'm a Pats fan, born and raised in New Hampshire, so you can get mad and do with that what you will. But
so how are your balls
up there? I'm a hometown guy.
How bad do you think
how are your balls up there
to have a Dez Bryant right now?
How's what?
I said, how are your balls up there? Are they a little softer than normal? Or?
I'm not even going to respond to that. I'm going Tom Brady.
I had to.
All
right, Robert. Thank you.
I mean, Wells Report is an editorial, 256-page editorial.
pick
well,
a side.
Thank you so much, Robert, and we hope you keep listening, man. I mean, you gave us some great, great input from somebody who says that they're not a huge Cowboy fan to give us, or football fan, really, to give us, you know, great input on a strong topic that seems to be popular amongst all the football circles today. So, again, Robert, thank you so much for calling in, and hopefully, you know, if there's anything else you hear throughout the show and want to weigh in, you're welcome anytime, man. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Who set it down for the Cowboys? Play action. Romo fires downfield, wide open, and taken into the end zone is Dez Bryant. 68 yards.
Here it is.
Dez Bryant, man. I want him to play the man, but geez. But Dustin, this is a topic now. I don't have an audio clip because I couldn't find one that I could edit down to be short enough for the show purposes. But this is something that in the production meeting, you know, the bearded guy with the you know, with the name that starts with D down in Florida was a little bit angry about, a little bit up in arms about, and that was the fact that the arch rival, and I'm going to say arch rival because they're really the only team that's been consistently competitive with us throughout the past decade, the Philadelphia Eagles, about 5 hours south of the location I sit in right now, they have a Pro Bowl offensive tackle. They just released one, but they still have one, Jason Peters. He's a stalwart. He's been in the league forever. He said this the other day regarding DeMarco Murray. He was rushing. He was the rushing champ last year. He almost broke the record. For him to come in here and not duplicate that, that would discredit us a little bit with the Dallas offensive line. We've got to make sure he gets his yards, Peter said. Dallas offensive line is good. We're just better. We're going to make sure he gets his yards. We're just better. Dustin, do you want me to give you a little block of time here to weigh in on this?
I mean, I've literally never been so annoyed with one person. I mean, last year, it wasn't him. It was his teammate. It was one of the defensive players. It was like, they don't look that great. And I'm like, come on, dude. Like, everybody, this was mid-season last year. People are like, this looks like the best offensive line in football. And everybody's stunned. And I'm like, listening to these Philadelphia losers. And they're like, whoa, yeah, it doesn't look that big. And then the biggest the thing that killed me, put a sour taste in my mouth, is they backed it up. First game, they beat the crap out of us, like 30-something-10, right? What was the score of that? You remember?
33-10 on Thanksgiving, yes.
I mean, come on. So I'm thinking, you know, billboard material, this guy's talking smack, our guys are going to come out and we're not going to let up a sack. They put Romo on the ground, I think, 4 times. They sacked him 4 times. He looked awful. He looked lost. That was the one game where people were like, he does not. And I think it was the up-tempo. Like, they were pushing up-tempo. Our defense looked awful. And then even on offense, they were blitzing a lot, and he looked lost. And I'm like, dude, this is, like, exposing us because it looks like our offensive line can't pick up. And a lot of that's on Tony Romo. But come on. So I hear that Peter's, Dallas O-line good, but we're just better. And I'm just like, are you kidding me? I'm like, what is this guy smoking realistically? I give him a 5% pass because this was, quote, Evan Mathis, okay? But it's still moronic. I don't care. Even with Pro Bowl guard Mathis, it does not matter, dude. They're calling us the Legion of Room. That's our offensive line, the Legion of Room. Because nobody can touch us, kid. So the best offensive line, okay, in pro football, and we only got better with Lyle Collins with that acquisition. We only got better. And then we got another O-lineman that's making moves. So my whole point is last year we had three pro bowlers, okay? We had Martin, Freddie, and Smith. Two of them made the AP all-first team. So that's the best of the best, right? Philly last year,
correct.
Two Pro Bowlers, Peters and Kelsey, made All-Pro first team. How many of them made All-Pro first team? Nada. So this guy seriously needs to know his role and shut his mouth because he hasn't done anything. Yeah, he's been a consistent Pro Bowler, but, dude, your team sucks. All right? I'm more worried about the New York Giants this year than the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles, I'm telling you, you want to name, like, the ultimate pretender? It's the Philadelphia Eagles. I think they took a smack-talking class or a how to get under people's skin class, because ever since Vince Young showed up and everybody's like, oh, this is the dream team over here, Michael Vick, Vince Young, a bunch of washed up players is all it was. They didn't do crap. I'm not worried about Chip Kelly. I'm not worried about his acquisitions and him getting rid of all of his team, trading, you know, Shady McCoy to get his linebacker and blah, blah, blah. Dude, I'm telling you right now, I don't see the Eagles even making it 8-8 next year, but I'm just annoyed that he had the balls to even say this stuff.
You know, if it was my team, I would love it. The fact that it's our rival, I'm compelled to be like, oh, he's a jerk, he's this, he's that. But facts are facts. I mean, DeMarco got the rushing, or almost got the rushing title because of our offensive line. DeMarco Murray's not an elite back. He's not Emmitt Smith we're talking about. You know, he's not Tony Dorsett. He's not, you know, he's not these, you know, these big-time backs. He's not even Sean Alexander, to be honest with you. He got what he got because of the big hog mollies up front. And for the Eagles, who, you look at Mark Sanchez, especially in the game that we won down in Philly, he was beat up. I mean, we got after Sanchez in that game. You know, the Eagles' offensive line was parting like the Red Sea, and they still had those two Pro Bowlers, and they still are not able to do anything. So this, to me, is one of those things where he's trying to hype his team up. He's trying to get his guys motivated for a Week 2 game. He's doing what guys do on teams. I mean, I was a smack talker too in college when I played ball. I wouldn't come up, you know, talk to the media about it, but I'd put things on Facebook and be like, I'd look at something that they did, for instance, and I would be, you know, I'd make fun of them or something like that on Facebook. But for my apologies there, I dropped the thing. For him to say this, the way that he said it, and as vindicated and as confident as he sounded saying this, you've got to think, well, perhaps there's something going on in Philly. There's got to be something, because they have made crazy offseason moves for what reason? And for him to be even the most mildly confident, he's got to be seeing something in camp. He's got to be.
Yeah, all the drugs that they're giving all their players.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? Maybe there's something in the water down in Philly. Who knows? But I don't know. I'm looking at this too. I'm going to pull it up here on the computer. I don't have something in front of me here. My workstation is a mess. I should be a lot more organized than I am, but if I pull up Philadelphia Eagles offensive line, okay, and I name to you who's on this offensive line right now, you probably may not be able to tell me any of the names of who they are, but yet he says that we're better. So here's what we're looking at right now, 2015 Philadelphia Eagles depth chart, okay? And again, releasing a Pro Bowler is never a good thing. And here's the thing. He was released over a contract dispute, too. He wanted more money, and they let him go. But anyway, the Dez thing is over.
His group is not.
Well, yeah, but again, it's a double-edged sword here. I mean, I wouldn't want that to happen. They've got Jason Peters, okay? They've got Dennis Kelly, Jason Kelsey, Aaron Barbre, Lane Johnson.
Ooh. Who?
Okay, Aaron Barbre.
No,
he's a starting right guard right now.
That's my point. Who? Nobody.
Jason Kelsey at center and Kelly Dennis at left guard.
Who? That's so long. Who? I don't even know these guys. Never heard of them.
So that's the thing with Kelsey being, you know, with who they've released. Peters is all that got left, and I understand he might feel like he's out on an island all his own, on his own here, but he's confident. He's got Sam Bradford, he's got DeMarco Murray, and he's got Ryan Matthews, plus Darren Sproles is coming back, so he's probably confident in the fact that DeMarco Murray...
Listen to that statement. Repeat that statement. Listen to it and try not to laugh your behind off. He's
DeMarco Murray.
He's got
Ryan
he's
Massey,
got Sam Bradford. He's got DeMarco Murray. He's got what did you say? Matthews. Dude, this is the biggest group of fractured numbskulls I have ever seen in my life. This is going to be hilarious to watch, dude. I'm telling you, this team is garbage.
Well, yeah, but what I'm saying is what I think he's going to be, focused on the most, I think, is going to be the fact that if DeMarco Murray, I think he's hopeful. If DeMarco Murray has a relatively good season, even close to mirroring what he did in Dallas, then his argument's backed up a little bit. Then his argument is, hey, look what we did. We got DeMarco Murray these yards, too. What's so special about Dallas? But in the first couple of weeks, if Murray is getting beat up left and right, tackled behind the line, or if he goes down, or if they can't get the run game going, well, then everybody's going to forget about this statement, and everybody's going to say, it was just Jason Peters popping off at the mouth. I mean, that's what NFL players do. They pop off at the mouth. I'm not really weighing this as heavy. I'm not as offended by this as you are, but... Yeah, I don't agree with him, of course, but I'm not. It's not something that I really care about because I'm not gonna. I just laugh at it. Honestly, I don't get worked up. I'm just like, yeah, okay, yeah, we got the best offensive line in football. But you have fun, buddy. You know what I'm saying? So I don't. It doesn't really bother me. But again, to you. But here's what we are going to say, and tell me if you agree with this, okay? This is what the Dallas Cowboys are going to say, what we are going to say on this show after the Philadelphia game and after, we play against Jason Peters in the second week of the season. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Oh, because some came in the mail today.
Yeah,
these nuts. Got him! Got him!
That's all that needs to be said about that. Jason Garrett, our wonderful ginger offensive coach here, used to be a quarterback behind, Troy Aikman, I believe, who was a backup quarterback. Now
yes,
he
sir.
Is the big guy, the big man, the head coach. Princeton grad, obviously, real smart guy, the originator of Finish the Fight in Dallas, something that became a hashtag sensation, and it was on T-shirts last year, and it was a model that the team adapted. Under his tenure, Dallas has never been under 500. Sure, he's had a streak of 8-8 seasons, but they've never been under 500. He seems to be able to control players who have been really uncontrollable, from Marion Barber to, making him wear a suit on the plane when he wanted to wear jeans, different things like that. He's been able to sort of earn these guys respect, but he's never really, to be honest with you, never really accomplished anything as a coach. He's won a division title, sure. He got to the playoffs. He won a playoff game. He's brought in some free agents. He's done this. He's created a mantra in Dallas, finish the fight. We're going to, but he's never quite... been that coach. And the question that we raised today in our itinerary for the show was, has Jason Garrett lived up to his contract in Big D? I mean, what do you think?
I mean, to be honest with you, if you're going to put it in America's team standards, it's no. It's a hell no. You're looked at as America's team. Today, people argue, the Saints are more of America's team, and, how about the Patriots, because they're Patriots, red, white, and blue, patriotic. I mean, I get it. Normally, the reason why they got America's team back in the, back in the day is because they were dominating network television, and they were winning. So they earned it. Now, has the title definitely lost part of its meaning? Absolutely. Do I think this guy is perfect for this team? I do. Originally, a while back, I wanted that hard-nosed, non-players coach, I'm going to beat the crap out of you, and you're going to earn your spot on this team. The Bill Cowers, that Gruden, the tough guys that the players would respect and go to war for. And then I realized we had guys like Tony and Jason Witten, and, ultimately they're, I just see them as prep school kids that don't They don't do well when they're looked down on or when they're yelled at. They need to be patted on the butt and constantly, you know, hey, good job, good job, good job, great job. Like, look at Garrett in the middle of the game. Romo will throw an interception, and Garrett, like, comes back to the huddle, and Garrett's clapping at him. Hey, I know what you were trying to do there. Great job, man. We'll get him next time. Like, it's this constant glad-handing BS. And if it works, it works, man. You know, you said it yourself. He's never been below 500. 2010, he took over for 1-17. Wade Phillips, his last year with the team, 1-7. What does the team do? They go 5-3 because they were trying to prove a point. They're like, you know what? Let's work hard for this guy. So what do they do the following year? 8-8, 2012, 8-8, 2013, 8-8, 2014, 12-4. The one thing you can say about Jason Garrett, he hasn't gone down. He has not gone back. Now, is this the year that he finally does regress? It's going to be pretty damn hard to go 12-4 again. I'll tell you that right now. But I do know that in my prediction, I could see us going 12-4 again. Now, if he stays the same, okay, I consider that fine. It's because just like the 8-8, 8-8, 8-8, he never dropped below 500. Now, was 8-8 acceptable for America's team? God no. But if we stay 12-4, I certainly do not have a problem with that. Would I prefer 13-3? Would I prefer 14-2? Would I prefer 15?
Who wouldn't prefer that? I mean,
who would prefer
to have a better record every year?
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
Dallas has been 14-2 in the 70s, but I mean, they've never been a team that's been a dominating record team. Even when they won their Super Bowls, they were 11-5. You know, so they've never been, well, 13-3, I believe, one of the years, but they've never really been that opposing, beat everybody up, 18-0 possibility team. They've always sort of been built on that scrappy mentality that's been, you know, we're the underdogs despite being the biggest, richest organization. We are the underdogs, and we're going to punch you in the mouth. And that's always really been what they've been, despite having the glamour coaches, despite having the glamour players. They've always sort of been, and if you look at the way that they've originated, you know, they've sort of been the team that has been sort of there. And I know that's tough to say, but Cowboys have always been in the picture, but they're not going to go in the accolades. They're not going to be as dominant, quote-unquote, as the Patriots are going to be looked at as. They're not going to be as dominant as some of those big-time dynasty teams. Yeah, we were a dynasty, but we weren't. How many years? I mean, the Steelers, you look at teams like that, they've been dominant in the past. This team has been scrappy, tenacious, and been there. But, you know, I think Jason Garrett sort of brings that back. But I'm not expecting a 14-2, 15-1 season. I'm expecting 11-5, 10-6, make the playoffs and go from there, because that's sort of been what we've always been.
Yeah, but you know what I look at Garrett as? He's a farm system coach. He's a guy that literally was behind Aikman. I think he was the ultimate kiss butt, to be politically correct. So, hey, can I get you a coffee? Hey, can I do this? Hey, can I do that? And, you know, he wanted to be on the team. He's a backup for life. His big speech, you know, at Princeton, he was just, you know, trying to inspire people, let them know that, you know, if you work hard, you can get whatever you want done. It was a great speech, and I posted this to the page, and with a speech like this, it's hard to understand why anybody can dislike this guy. He seems to just stay under the radar long enough to bust through the ceiling. So he's literally, like what I said, he's a farm system guy. He's been in the Dallas Cowboys for so long. I mean, after he left the Cowboys, he had a short stint in New York for the Giants, and then he had a little short run with the Dolphins, but then he made his way back to Dallas. It seems like Jerry has invested years into this guy's development that I don't see anybody getting Garrett out of there unless Garrett literally looks at Jerry Jones and says, F you. So I think Garrett, he just signed a 5-year deal, $30 million. Okay, so give me a break. Jerry, oh, you know, I don't want to sign the best wide receiver in football right now, but I'm going to give a 5-year deal to a 500 redhead coach? Come on. Like, this is my point. You know, he's selective with his checkbook, and it's to the wrong people, okay? Why would you ever trade for Brandon Carr and honor that contract? but you're not going to re-sign someone who is in the discussion with Calvin Johnson as the best wide receiver in the game of football. You're going to posture up just because you don't like Jay-Z and his new representation. Come on, dude. Pay the guy. He is one of the best players in the NFL right now, and he belongs to your team, and he bleeds blue, white, and silver, and you're going to mess with this guy's mental state of mind right now to the point where even if we do get him, right, and he decides to play week two or whatever, whenever the holdout's over and ultimately he decides he needs money and he signs that franchise tender, dude, we're going to get half a Dez and it's going to suck.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I look at it as I like him because it's like you said a couple shows ago, what have you done for me lately, league? Lately, he's gotten me 12-4 and gotten me to, you know, the divisional round of the playoffs. He's gotten a locker room united. He's gotten guys behind him following the system. He's become a household name. Yeah, exactly. He's gotten better. So that's why I like him. Okay, he could be the nicest guy in the world and give great speeches and be smiling and be the best dude ever, but if he's not winning football games, I want him the hell off my team. Well, yeah, exactly. But if he's not winning football games, I want him the hell off my team. He could be the nicest guy on the planet Earth. You know, he could be the Mother Teresa of men, and if he's not winning football games, I don't want him on my sideline. The fact is, 8-8, I was starting to lose faith in him after 2013. I was starting to think, oh, geez, he's only going to go down from here because we're going to lose players. We're going to do this. This 12-4, like I said before, I was pleasantly surprised with it, and if it keeps up, hey, great. I love him. But, you know, that's all I can really say about him. I mean, I like him, but he needs to show me more. I don't think he's lived up to his contract because, like you said to begin the segment,
he was the highest paid assistant coach ever. He was the highest paid assistant coach ever. He broke a record. What they were paying him to sit behind Wade Phillips and steal his job, he was the highest paid assistant coach ever.
That's kind of crazy. That's
yeah,
a little bit crazy.
That's the Dallas Cowboys nowadays, man. That's the Dallas Cowboys nowadays. We're just throwing money in all different places except for the right places, and that's why I'm worried.
Mike Tomlin's been more successful than he has. You know, Mike McCarthy, guys who you wouldn't necessarily, they don't have the same household name unless you live in their cities.
Bill Belichick.
You know, guys... Yeah, well, Belichick's just, he's a legend in the coaching world. But, you know, guys, Bruce Arians.
Sean Payton.
Well, yeah, but Bruce Arians, who's that guy in Tennessee now? He used to be in Arizona.
Oh, man, that bums me out. That's going to blow my mind right now. Come on. They were just saying because he doesn't necessarily, his guy Mariota doesn't necessarily fit his scheme. I got to look that up now. It's bugging me.
I got it. The Tennessee Titans coach right now, Ken Wisenhunt, that's what it is. I mean, Wisenhunt's been more successful.
Wisenhunt,
he's been more successful in his career as a head coach than Jason Garrett. I mean, Jason Garrett's 41-31, and the only reason why he's 41-31 is because of that great season that they've had this past year. He's 42-32 overall. That 41-31 is only regular season. 1-1 in the postseason, so 500 in the postseason. It's not it's a resume of, you know, an office temp. It's not a resume of a CEO. You know what I'm saying? So I need to see more from him. That's all it is. I need to see more.
I agree. I need a deep playoff run that isn't motivated by a bad pass interference call, the Lions, and that doesn't end in an awful, awful no catch, but really was a catch call, Green Bay. So I think if we make a deep run, make it to the NFC Championship, obviously I want to be in the Super Bowl, but you know what? I'm satisfied. If we make an appearance and we're fighting for a shot at the Super Bowl, I'm happy. Will I be happier if we make it to the Super Bowl? Absolutely. Will I be ecstatic if we win the Super Bowl? Absolutely. And you know what? I'm telling you, man, just like the show says, if all the stars align, it's Super Bowl 50. It doesn't get any bigger than this, maybe Super Bowl 100. But Super Bowl 50, you're going to tell me that the Dallas Cowboys do not belong in the Super Bowl? Oh, man, it would be great. And it's in the works.
You know, and I have told everybody, and I know we are all against it here. I have told everybody, I don't have any tattoos. I know you do. I don't. I've promised my grandfather that I wouldn't get one. He hated tattoos. He hated earrings on guys. He hated all that stuff. I promised him when I was young that I wouldn't get one. However, you know, his name, ironically, and if you don't believe me, you can look this up. I'll show you any proof you want to see. His name was Jerry Jones. That was my grandfather's name. And which I thought was awesome, by the way.
Does he also make terrible contract decisions?
He made some bad life choices, yes. If the Dallas Cowboys win the Super Bowl, I am getting – here's the tattoo that I'm getting. I'm calling it right now. If they win the Super Bowl, my last name is Mick Swiggin, so I'm getting the shamrock with the star on top of the shamrock so that the spaces in between the star points are filled in with the green shamrock, okay? Each point – on the star, it says McSwiggin through the middle of the star. Each point on the star has their Super Bowl.
Championship year.
Yeah, championship years. Plus one more on top of the top one for this year. Okay? And
well,
it's gonna have McSwiggin across the cursor. It's what?
I said you're going to be screwed if they ever get six.
Well, no, because they'll just add another year. Add another year. Add another year and keep adding years.
Add another star. All right, you heard it here first on Stars Align. If the Dallas Cowboys win Super Bowl 50, Mr. McSwiggin is going to be getting some ink.
Hopefully. But I'm not one of those guys you see on Facebook, you know, who gets a tattoo now saying, you know, 2015 champion. I'm not doing that.
Yeah. A lot of Cavaliers fans that have those tattoos that are going to be upset. Well,
The funniest one was that I saw this one guy get a tattoo. I saw it on my Facebook feed. By the way, you can see all these cool pictures and stuff on our website, thestarsandline.com. But you know, the funny thing is, I saw a guy get a Detroit Lions 2015 Super Bowl championship tattoo on his leg, and it was a big, like, it took up like almost his entire lower leg. And I'm like, you poor bastard, what are you doing? I mean, you know, people do this. Sure, they love ink and they get, you know, confident in their team. But it's I'm gonna get it after they win, not before they win. Thank you very much. But speaking of those stories and those things, we're looking at around the league. We're looking at rookie impacts on teams. Which rookie will be the top rookie in the league this year overall? Dustin, you were saying you wanted to do 4-4 offense, defense, or four top rookies total, or how did you say that? This was your baby. This was your idea. How did you want to propose this?
Yes, sir. I want to do two offense, two defense. I don't care if they belong to the AFC, the NFC, the CFL, the NBA. I don't care. I just want two offense, two defense. Any teams, the most impactful rookies, immediate. They're going to show up and have a chance to make the Pro Bowl, have a chance to lead a category in statistics. It's just the most impactful rookies right away.
Okay. You want to start since this is your love child here?
Yeah, absolutely. So, all right. So, everybody is leaning with the whole, anytime you're a QB, you're playing the most important position of the league, so they're going to be the most impactful. We think Winston and Mariota are going to be just going to catch fire game one. I don't, you know. I think the one guy.
Well, they play each other week one, so we'll see.
Right, exactly, that's honestly one of my most, that's one of the matchups I'm the most excited for that's not a Dallas Cowboys game, is I want to see these two guys that were picked, and I want to see Mariota just make everybody pay for passing up on him, because I do think, I'm one of the few that thinks Mariota is the total package over Winston, who looks like a fatter version of Jamarcus Russell. But so out of both of them, who walks into a more comfortable situation? Dude, it's got to be Winston in Tampa Bay, man, because he had two giant wide receivers in Florida, and now he walks into Evans, another giant wide receiver that they just drafted, and then D-Jax. Like, are you kidding me? This kid, if he can't make this work, he's literally, it's like they might as well put the Florida logo on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers jerseys for him. So if he can't make that work, then that is the ultimate testament to him just sucking. But I looked past the QBs, because obviously QBs are going to have immediate impact because they affect the game, you know, close to 50 snaps a game. So for offense, the first guy that jumped out at me is Amari Cooper down in Oakland. Man, so Derek Carr, right now people are saying he is the better quarterback in the Bay Area. So that's a dig straight at Kaepernick. And I agree, man, because Kaepernick over the last year has looked like dog crap. And I think Amari Cooper is just going to help Derek Carr. I think Derek Carr is going to be poised for a breakout year. You know, you can quote me. You remember, you record this little clip, and we're going to play it back when Derek Carr throws for 4 touchdowns and 300 yards the first week. I'm telling you right now that Derek Carr is going to show up because he's going to have some talent finally. It's not just going to be Jacoby Jones and all these washed-up scrubs that go to the Raiders because they know the Davis type owners will pay him that kind of money. Al Davis is out. It's a different regime in Oakland right now. They're building for the future, and they're bringing in veteran talent, but they are drafting solid draft picks. So
okay,
I
who's your top rookie then?
Well, I mean, come on, top rookie, I don't know. Because like I said, top rookie it's probably going to go to a sexy position. You know, top rookie, technically Zach Martin was a top rookie, but did he get rookie of the year? No, he didn't. Because he
Are
wasn't
you calling Zach Martin
position.
Sexy?
Yeah, basically. I love him this year. But
yeah,
he's
a nice guy.
Stop trying to pull me off track here. I'm trying to stick to my thing, okay? So Amari Cooper, wide receiver out of Oakland.
That's my number one rookie
impact guy. All right, now the next guy that I see that I think is going to make an immediate impact is Melvin Gordon in San Diego, okay? I think Melvin Gordon's going to make moves because Phillip Rivers is going to attract a lot of attention like he already has because we don't even know if he's going to be there day one because he clearly does not want to move from California, especially where they are currently. He doesn't want to disrupt that gigantic family of his. So now if Phil sticks around, I could see Melvin Gordon, being just ridiculously important to this team because think about the Chargers when they're successful. They have LaDainian Tomlinson, right? When he bounced, who was there? It was a huge run game. Ryan Matthews. Yeah, he's made out of glass, but he made a lot of noise. So I think Melvin Gordon filled a huge need for them. And assuming Rivers stays around, he's going to be a big, big-time offensive option. So there are my two offensive rookies that I think are going to make the biggest immediate impact. We're moving to defense. You know how I talked about in the past, it's a passing league, it's arena ball. What shuts that down the most? Corners. But what else shuts that down the most is defensive ends. The big boys down low that are getting nasty, that are putting the QB on his behind. I'm telling you, Dante Fowler, defensive end, Jacksonville. He's a beast with all the tools to make an immediate impact. His final year at Florida, 8.5 sacks, 78 tackles. Don't be surprised if you see that same type of production again. It's Jacksonville, all right? They're as close as you get to a B-division team that does not belong in the NFL right now. But they're rebuilding through the draft. They will attract free agents. They snagged one of our offensive tackles, right? So they're going to build, and I think Fowler's going to be good. And then my last defensive end that I think is going to make a huge impact, Vic Beasley on Atlanta. I think that was an awesome pick for the Falcons. That's a huge need for them. They have no pass rush. I think he has unreal athleticism, the ability to play both stand-up linebacker. So I'm telling you right now, Dante Fowler, Vic Beasley, those are my defensive guys. And then I'm telling you, somebody pick up Amari Cooper and Melvin Gordon in fantasy football because they're going to be putting up points.
Okay. I mean, I like what you're saying.
Don't be boring
and
pick quarterback.
No, I'm not going to pick quarterback. I don't think either one of them is going to have a great year. I shouldn't say that. I think they'll have good years. But when it comes to being the all-time standout rookie for this year, I'm not going to pick Winston or Mariota. I'm looking in a little bit of a different direction. I think Cooper is going to be very good in Oakland, but I'm looking at the guy that really kind of gets me, gets my blood boiling, kind of gets me going a little bit, and he's not a Cowboy, of course. I'm not going to sit here and say Byron Jones and be cliche, but a guy in Cleveland.
I did the same thing. I tried to stay away. Realistically, I do think Jones is going to be unreal for us. I think he's going to turn a lot of heads, but I did try to stay away from Dallas Cowboys because I didn't want to be so super.
Yeah, of course, we can't be. Now, he's going to be good, but honestly, though, the Cowboys super fans out there, I do apologize. He's going to be great, but I don't feel like he's going to be the top one. And I'm looking at Cleveland, and I'm looking at what they're building on that Browns organization. For them to be able to get Cameron Irving and Danny Shelton, I mean, two big, nasty, you know, sloppy dudes, I think Shelton is going to throw bodies around in that division. I think he's probably going to be one of the defensive rookies, even though it's not really a sexy position at D-tackle, a big nose guard, but he is definitely, I think, going to be an impact player. I'm looking at also on the defensive side of the ball. Let me see here. I got my list here, my notes in front of me. Defensive side of the ball, another guy that I'm looking at who I think is actually going to be pretty good. You may or may not believe me, but first-round pick here. It's going to be – I don't want to. I really don't, but I got to say Leonard Williams as well for the Jets, because he was the number one player coming out of college, coming into the draft. He slipped all the way to 6. The Jets have a nasty D-line now. He is a run stuffer. He can get after the quarterback. He's fast. He can cover tight ends. He can do pretty much anything. He's going to get, and if Robert's still listening, Tom Brady, Leonard Williams is coming. I think Williams, it's going to be two D tackles fighting for it right now, and with Vic Beasley of the Falcons being a close third here on defense. Offensive side of the football, yeah, I mean, Amari Cooper's a sexy pick. I got to love Amari Cooper there. Kevin White, all those guys, but you know who I'm really looking at, who I think is going to be an impact player right off the bat on the offensive side of the football? And, you know, you can believe me or not believe me, but I'm looking at a guy in Baltimore, Rashad Perryman, who is just a stud for Joe Flacco. He's fast. He can get down the field. He has the jump ball. He caught that Hail Mary against East Carolina when he played at Central Florida. He can jump. He can run. He's physical. He can block. And this dude, they said, has hands like glue right now. And so he's going to be pretty good on the offensive side of the football. And I'm also looking at another guy who's going to be, I think, maybe a Pro Bowler, and that's Andres Pete, the offensive tackle in New Orleans. He was one of the top guys coming out in the O-line. He's a smart player out of Stanford, a very good blocker. He can play guard or tackle, even center if he needs to. They can swing him, pull him, whatever he needs to do. And, you know, the Saints need offensive line help badly to protect Drew Brees. I think if Brees has a better season, it's going to be going to be because of the moves that they made to get Max Unger in the Jimmy Graham trade and then to go out and get Andres Pete. I think that those are, yeah, they're strategic moves, but I also think that they're very good moves as well for both of those teams.
Yeah, you certainly didn't make any sexy picks. I'll give you that, my friend.
No, I looked at it. I'm like, do I want to make sexy time or no? But, I mean, you know, another thing, too, and tell me if you agree with me here on this. Another thing that a lot of people had Dallas projecting him to fall to, which I'm kind of glad he didn't, is Marcus Peters went to the Chiefs from Washington. He had all those off-the-field concerns and issues. Dude's got crazy talent, possibly the best corner to come out of the draft. But he had all these red flags and things, and I was begging, please, don't.
Like a wicked,
you know,
head case.
Yeah, I was like, don't let him fall to Dallas, because he's a great corner, but we don't need that kind of drama right now. How do you think he's going to do in KC with Andy Reid? I mean, you think he's going to be any good?
Andy Reid, I think Andy Reid is the NFL's Jerry Springer. I think he knows how to deal with, you know, BS, because obviously we saw what he dealt with in Philly when he was there. And he certainly was up against it. So, I think Andy Reid is one of the greatest coaches that we've seen play. Will it work out in Kansas City? Yeah, I don't know. But they're really, they're about to see enough to pay attention to it, especially a team like Kansas City. But like I said, if anybody can handle that, it's Andy Reid.
True. One thing I want to go back to here, I got about 25 minutes left. Again, if you do want to call in and listen, we appreciate Robert calling in and listening. Thank you very much for that. And Robert, if you do feel like calling back, if you are so inclined, because we can sit here and make fun of the Patriots all night if you want to, you can call in at 713-955-0359. Again, that is 713-955-0359. We are talking Cowboys here all day long. The only thing I gotta say is we gotta talk about rookie impacts for the Cowboys since we're here. We got about 25 minutes left. I know we didn't want to get into it to start, but our rookies right now, our top two draft picks, Byron Jones and Randy Gregory, boy, I see them being pretty damn good, don't you think?
I do. I'll tell you what, though, I hate seeing Randy Gregory wearing 94.
Why is that?
I don't know, man. I just think out of respect for DeMarcus that needed to stay off of players for a few years longer. Like I said, I think DeMarcus Ware was too soft, but he did do a lot for this team, and he does have a lot of large statistics for everyone else to overcome for him to be forgotten. I think ultimately he'll be one of those Ring of Honor inductees too, but I don't know. I'm one of the guys who opposed the Dez Bryant wearing 88 thing. I just think once a jersey's retired or someone's put in a lot of work, I don't think someone else would do it. Think about it. When Romo retires, you want to see somebody else wearing 9?
I wouldn't mind.
Yeah, no,
I mean,
I can't do it. It's like that's like looking at the Patriots, seeing somebody else wearing 12, or you know what I mean? Looking at another big team like Peyton Manning at the Colts, somebody wearing 18, it just wouldn't look right to me. But you make valid points. Randy Gregory is definitely probably going to be a big impact guy. I saw a lot of reports saying that that Smith has been really working with them, and they've been pushing each other, and that's just completely positive in my eyes. And then as far as Jones, I mean, yeah, Romo said it, that Jones has just been freaking him out in camp, the way he's been doing things with his freak athleticism and his intelligence. So, yeah, they're probably going to be big-time players as far as, you know, immediate impact. And then, obviously, our non-draft pick, Rahl Collins.
You know, I see Gregory not being as much of an impact right away as I see Jones being, because he's so versatile. He can jump back. He can play safety. He can play corner. He can play off the ball. He can come in on tackles. You know, he had a couple sacks in college. He can play whatever he needs. We are pretty good on the defensive side of the ball in terms of up in the box. And I think Randy Gregory isn't really going to have with – he might have a little bit of playing time with Greg Hardy out, but once Hardy's back, I don't see Gregory being the impact guy that we necessarily wanted him to be right off the bat, because we are
so
stacked.
Yeah, but what's a little playing time? What's a little playing time?
He's
going to
be rotation. He's going to rotate.
That's a lot of playing time.
Well, he's not going to get 10 games. He's really not. But
yeah, let's hope.
I don't know. He's... Yeah, I mean, we, that's all we really can do is hope, I suppose. But I just don't think that he's going to be an impact player right off the bat. Now, Lyle Collins, I know he wasn't really a draft pick, but Lyle Collins, I see him being more of an impact than Gregory, honestly. I do, right off the bat, at least early on.
Well, yeah, of course you can say that, because you can say that the offensive line is silent.
True.
Group position on the field. I mean, we're talking, we got one of the, I think, one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And I'm saying the Legion of Room needs to keep this man standing up and have all-time low sack numbers. All right? I'm putting it out there, man. The Legion of Room. I don't like this Cowboys, the Great Wall 2.0. They are the Legion of Room.
So we've come up with a couple here. We've come up with Legatron. We've come up with, what is the Legion of Room?
Legatron. Yes, I love Dan Bailey. Legatron, I love that.
Legatron, Legion of Room. I mean, you heard it here first. We are hashtagging left and right, everybody around here. So I like the Legion of Room. I think I'm gonna start using that. I really do. I think I'm going to start using that. But another thing real quick about the Cowboy rookies, because we do got to jump around a little bit more and end off the show here. About 20 minutes left to go. Do you really feel that the Dallas rookies were coming into a situation where they could succeed early on other than Byron Jones? Or do you feel like Dallas drafted rookies, unlike other teams had needs to fill? It seemed like Dallas drafted one need to fill and a bunch of luxury picks for depth. Isn't that what you feel like?
Yeah, I do agree with you on that, because we had some linebackers, right? And we know that we're heavy on that position. I said last week, that we were deep at corner, and people got on me because they're like, really? And I'm like, no, not deep meaning we got Revis and Sherman, so we're deep. No. I mean deep like we got a crap ton of them, you know. So as far as linebackers, we're deep at linebacker, meaning we have a lot of linebackers right now. Now, you know, McClain's still trying to get healthy. Sean Lee, come on, you know, how much are we getting out of him? Because we know Sean Lee is a baller. But as far as will he stay on the field long enough to make things happen, let's hope Zach Martin stays away from him in the offseason because we know what he did doing last year. So we're deep at linebacker. That was luxury picking, I'll tell you that. And then what was that, taking a tight end, what was it, sixth or seventh round? We didn't need a tight end, dude. I mean, Escobar still hasn't panned out. You know, we have backup tight ends, the Witten, that have freak abilities and a freak frame, or 6'9", blah, 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 but they're just not putting in the work, or they just don't have the skill and natural ability. So, yes, I agree with you. A lot of these picks were just luxury, you know, fill the depth chart, special team picks.
Okay. I feel like we drafted for depth. I didn't particularly like the draft. I would have been happy with a draft with who we took the first two times and maybe taking a running back third and then drafted whoever the hell we want after that. But I feel like we almost set these guys up with a little too much pressure. I mean, you look at what they did in Arizona, what they did in Miami. You look at, you know, they set these guys up to be stars early on. We set one guy up to fill shoes and fill a need and be, you know, if this doesn't work out, are you going to be boom or bust? Okay, we didn't draft a rookie to groom him and say, look, you're going to be really good this year. People are going to be talking about you, and you're only going to get better. We drafted a rookie to say, if you don't produce in this season, you're a bust, and we're getting somebody else in your position next year. That's what I feel like our picks seemed like this year. And you know, I look at what the Saints did and the Browns did, room to groom guys. With us, we drafted depth or boom or bust. I mean, I don't know if you agree with me on that, but that's just what it seems like to me.
Yeah, I completely agree with you.
So for Dallas to, you know, for Dallas to sort of draft that way now, is this smart management decisions when it comes to managing rookies? I mean, and this ties back into everything. This ties back into our Jason Garrett discussion, ties back into our Dez discussion. The ownership and the management, quote-unquote, making smarter decisions, are they actually in the long run shooting themselves in the foot by making smarter decisions now?
I mean, I'm not looking that deep into it. The way, honestly, what I can't ignore is the Jekyll and Hyde theory that I brought up 2 weeks ago or last week, whenever the heck it was. The whole, you know, Stephen Jones, the son, being like, all right, we need to be smart. We need to follow the Patriots. We need to follow the Seahawks. We need to draft talent, grow it, so it doesn't cost us so much money right up, you know, at the beginning. And then maybe when we grow it, they love us so much that they're going to sign for, you know, pennies on the dollar like other teams are doing. So I see Steve trying to do that, and then I see Jerry just going like $11 million, you know, just hitting the button. You know, he's just this senile old man who wants to sign every raw talent that's on the free agent market right now. I'm surprised that, you know, Jekyll to the Hyde didn't see what's-his-face get dumped by Philly and be like, hey, we can plug him in at guard. He can be a backup guard. What's-his-face, the Pro Bowl that they just cut.
Hashtag Jekyll to the Hyde.
Yeah, exactly. So I just feel like I feel like we got a little bit of, you know, senile old Gramps who still wants to do things for the way of the 90s. And then I think that we just have, you know, the son who's watching what is successful right now and is trying to copy that.
Caller, welcome to the Stars Align. What is your name, sir? Or ma'am, whoever.
Hello.
I don't know.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, who's this?
My name is Jeff from Speculation Sports. What's going on?
Jeff, how are you?
I'm well. How are you today?
There he is, Mr. Cowpote. I was going to talk about you right before we got up.
Well, my name is Jeff.
It is Jeff.
Cowpote is the name of the podcast. It's named after a food item. People call me Cowpote. So
Cowpote
just, I mean,
one.
I get it. I mean, Zane B, who's 15, who is on my board, I call it board member. I've handed out 1,200 hats of Speculation Sports. people call me Cowpoke. My name is Jeff. People call me Cowboy. I've been called a troll, but you can call me Cowpoke. But it's you know, it is what it is. I've been podcasting for 6 years, and my nickname is Cowboy. I figured I'd name it Cowpoke after the whole food item, because when you Google Speculation Sports or Cowpoke, I come to the top of the page. I don't got to pay Google a red cent of the language we speak is money. So I just go to the top of the page.
Very true.
You know, just
that
talking about
true,
sports,
man.
A short speculation. I speculate sports all day long. I try to be objective, not too subjective. I mean, I talk about my cowgirls and the headdress tonight, the Blackhawks, but I don't talk fantasy sports because they don't live in my mother's basement. So.
True.
Man, so I loved your Super Bowl 50 picks. You had Dallas Cowboys and the New England Patriots. You still sticking with that after the Patriots dumped all their talent?
Yeah, well, I just think it's a felon cheat. Okay, again, there's 32 teams in the National Felon League, and you know, you've got Baby Maker, you've got the system. I mean, my friend Chris Ransom from Draft Utopia, who we teamed up together, he's better than I am. When he calls my show, he actually makes my show well eligible. I mean, I don't take sports that seriously, but I just think Belichick and the Tea Parties will find a way to get it done. If I'm Brady, say, listen, I made a poor choice. I cheated. Show some integrity. You're supposed to be. Don't be shady Brady. Be a guy that steps up. I just think they might go 0-4 with the G-Man, or a.k.a. the ostrich, whatever you want to call the guy. But I call the G-Man. It's easier. I call the ostrich the backup for the Denver the ostrich that backs up the cripple out there in Denver, you know. He's the ostrich. That's all they're talking. But I think they can get it done, but I still would not believe surprised. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm there. It sounds like you're in the middle
of the
freeway.
They hung up on me.
Who hung up on you?
All right. So apparently Jeff and Calpo Radio over at Speculation Sports, he had some technical errors. But, the long story short is I follow him a lot.
I had to put real quick, Desmond, I had to take the headphones off for a second because I had to close. I just had literally like a bird hit my window, and I had to like close my window because it scared the crap out of me. I took the headphones off real quick. What happened with Jeff?
Oh, he dropped off the call. I think something happened. No big deal. Sure
I heard him saying they hung up on me. We didn't hang up on you, Jeff.
That's fine. No big deal. I'm sure he can call again. The fact of the matter is I love what he does. He's got a YouTube channel over at it's Cowpote1, COWPOTE1. He had a video that I was watching. He was our first caller, which is why I'm so sentimental on this old bastard. The fact is he picks the Patriots and the Cowboys in the Super Bowl at Super Bowl 50. Now, because that would be just an incredible PR thing, I mean, you're talking about the New England Patriots and the Dallas Cowboys in the Super Bowl, the biggest one yet, Super Bowl 50, because they couldn't do L because they didn't want it to be the Super Bowl losers. They changed it from the Roman numerals, and it's just the big 50, Super Bowl 50. I don't think my friends in New England are going to kill me. I don't think the Patriots can make it back. I think they mortgaged everything. They got the year last year. They did everything they could. They signed Revis, and they made moves. They lost a lot of guys. You know, yes, division winners, not even close. Absolutely. I picked the Patriots over the Bills and, you know, the Jets and the Dolphins. Give me a break. But do I think they make it back to the Super Bowl? I don't know. It looks like they're setting Andrew Luck up to make some big-time moves over there in Indy. But do I think the Cowboys have a better chance to make it to the Super Bowl than the Patriots? I mean, I don't know. According to us just getting better, yes, I do. I think the Cowboys are poised to make a deeper run than the Patriots. But would that be just an awesome Super Bowl? Absolutely. I would love it. And I hope Jeff's picks were right. I hope it's Cowboys and Patriots in the Super Bowl because, to be honest with you, without Darrelle Revis, I like our chances.
And, Jeff, again, if you do want to give us a shout back, I don't know what happened there. Again, I had to take my headphones off, but we do apologize if anything happened on our end to cut you off. But I do like what happened with his picks. I do like what he was saying. But, you know, one thing I do, too, is I love his names that he comes up with for different things.
Big tubs of, we need some tubs of goo down in the trenches. That's what he said in our first show.
Now, if I was in the radio station,
if I was in the radio station, I would be able to isolate that soundbite, and I'd be able to play Big Tubs of Goo of his actual voice saying it when he first said it, but I don't have those kind of things right now capable. But I absolutely hope that Speculation Sports wants to sort of work with us a little bit, and you know, we can call their show. He can call us anytime he wants. I hope he likes our names, too, because he has his long list of names, and he named off so many when it first happened. I mean, more than I can even think of for his different
Legion
analogies and
Room.
Things like that.
Legion of Room. Legion of Room. Push it.
Legion of Room, but also Legatron. That was mine.
Yeah, well, I so. Heard across the wire that that's the nickname for the St. Louis Rams kicker, so that might be some lawsuits.
Is it really? Who even is the St. Louis Rams kicker?
I have no idea, but apparently his nickname is Legatron.
Oh.
So we might have to go back to the drawing board for Dan.
If it's hashtag, it's official.
Yeah.
So, again, Speculation Sports, we love that pick. I'm going to weigh in on my pick real quick for Super Bowl 50. Man, I put Dallas in it every year. But I got to look at it and say,
Just be unbiased. Be 100% unbiased. Like I said, I think we have a better chance to get there than the Patriots. Do I think it'll really happen? I don't know. I said I'd be happy if we got to the conference final.
Be unbiased.
So unbiased. I know you're going Green Bay and Seattle. Unbiased.
You know I'm going Green Bay and Seattle unbiased.
Yeah, I know you.
All right. Okay, let me do this. I'm going to go with, for the AFC side, because of the new additions, Philip Dorsett is a stud as a rookie. I'm looking at Andrew Luck, looking at Frank Gore, Andre Johnson. I'm thinking the Colts finally get it done this year. They've been right at the tip of the iceberg the last couple of years since they had Luck. Finally, I think they get it done this season. I'm putting the Colts there for the AFC. For the NFC, man, I hate picking anybody but Dallas. Why do you do this to me? Okay, let's put it this way. If it's not Dallas, I got to say the best team right now
Seahawks.
Is Green Bay.
Seahawks.
It's got to be Green Bay.
Jimmy Graham, Seahawks.
Yeah, but we've shut down Jimmy Graham before. We had no defense. I mean, I don't think Seattle's best team. They lost a lot of guys on the offensive line. They lost a lot of guys on the defensive side of the ball. They got, you know, scramble mania at quarterback who's just destined to get hurt. I'm looking at, from a talent standpoint, offense, defense, special teams, and quarterback, it's got to be Green Bay. If not Dallas, Green Bay's got to be the best team in the NFC. So if not Dallas-Indianapolis, it's going to be Green Bay-Indianapolis. Book it right now.
I have my own. His name is Jeff Nadeau. And the kicker for the St. Louis Rams, his name is Greg Zierlein, I believe. Greg in Legatron. So the Legatron. So Chris apologizes for using your nickname because he is a retard. But as far as
I thought I made it up. Here I am thinking I'm creative.
Yeah,
no,
you're not creative.
No? Shucks.
Oh, it's fine. It's fine. We'll work together.
Hey, you know what Jeff Nadeau just did to me? You know what he just did to me? Here's what he just did to me.
Oh, because someone came in the mail today.
Yeah, I did.
These nuts. Got him. Got him.
That's what he just did to me, basically. So.
Peace, Christmas Wagon. Peace.
Fair enough. I'm going to come up with a creative nickname that all y'all are going to love next week, and it's going to be absolutely original, damn it. And it's going to be an obscure player. It's going to be like Anthony Hitchens or something. So it's going to be something like that. So. It's something. Church, Barry Church. I'm going to come up with something, okay, because I need to have a nickname. You have Legion of Room. I need to have one. So, but,
that's your homework.
That is my homework. Man, it's been, and I'm not old. It's been forever since I've had homework. So, okay, we're up here about 5 minutes or so to go, and you know, I gotta ask one more thing here. We're gonna recap a little bit because we don't have too much time left. The Dez thing, I gotta go back to this for a second, and you know, with Jeff Nader, who all of a sudden thinks he's Mr. Information, he is also a Patriots fan, just like Robert, who called earlier.
Aren't all Patriots like that? Don't they all think they know everything?
Well, yeah, a lot of them do, though. It's, you know, it's one of the education capitals of the world in New England, so, but, you know, great schools out there. But you look at what the organization in New England did, and you gotta think, you gotta actually kind of look at it in this way. If Dez pulled this in New England, he'd be gone tomorrow. But New England has a habit of making these no-name guys into superstars. Dallas doesn't do that.
Because they have the best coach in the NFL, Chris.
But if we would have called the best coach at cheating. If we would have called Dez tomorrow and say, Dez, you know what? You hold out, you're done. Bye. We don't have any, but all of a sudden, boom, our 12-4, 13-3 hopefuls, all of a sudden looks at, okay, maybe we can hope for 10-6. So I'm like, is it good or is it bad to have an organization that is harsh, but also good or bad to you know, because I'm jealous of the Patriots. I look at the Patriots and I say, you take these guys that are fifth-round draft picks that are no-name nobodies,
Super Bowl champions, and we can't do it without stars. Stop chalking it up to these fifth-round pick players. No, it's coaching. Malcolm Butler made that incredible play on the ball because Bill Belichick beat that into his brain the day before in practice. Okay? Bill Belichick puts these guys in the seats. They study more than any other freaking team in the NFL, and it works. They win championships. They get a bad rep because they're in the limelight. People hate teams that win all the time, right? That's why everybody hated the Cowboys in the 90s. The Patriots win all the time, so everybody hates them, right? At the end of the day, Bill Belichick is the difference maker. Tom Brady is not Tom Brady without Bill Belichick. I'll argue with anybody till the end of time. We only got 3 minutes left. So I'm telling you right now, if Bill Belichick was on the Dallas Cowboys, we'd be winning a championship within 5 years. I'm telling you. He'd have every single player on that team, and he'd start from the beginning. He'd get intelligent players that study and understand game planning, and then we'd win. It's that simple.
True, but I also feel like, you know, Bill Belichick – I don't know. I like what I have. I like the system that we have. I just don't like drama. I hate drama. And Dez, why do you have to give us so much drama, Dez? What are you doing, man?
Well, for someone who hates drama so much, then why aren't you on my side when I say I want humble guys that don't talk smack and say, well, we're the best offensive line of football? Last episode, man, you told me you want your guys to be like, we are the best offensive. That's drama, dude. You just want quiet.
Because I'm in the media business. I'm in the media business. That's not media drama. That's not media drama. That is being,
I don't like,
you know,
that.
Shut up.
Humble guys that shut up and play the game. Nope. Humble guys that shut up
and
play
the
game.
And I want guys that go out and play and take their $12 million and don't hang out like a little crybaby.
I agree.
So that's what I want. We've got about 90 seconds to go here. Again, thank you all so much for listening. Nato in the back sideline. Nato, Nadu, Nada, I don't know, some French name. Whatever you did in the background, thank you for that. Making me look like a jackass. Thank you very much. We had another caller from Speculation Sports. Dustin, you want to shout them out real quick?
Yeah, absolutely. Speculation Sports. He's got a YouTube channel, Cowpote1. Check him out. He's a funny, very entertaining guy, and I like his Super Bowl pick, man. Cowboys, Patriots,
nice.
Super Bowl 50. I hope it happens.
He's a great guy, and you know what? He's smart. He has his football knowledge, and I think you'll find him to be supremely entertaining, just like we do here. You can reach us at thestarsaline.com. This show will be up for listening afterwards. If you have any email comments or anything to go over with us there, yell at us, praise us, do whatever you want to do, you can get us at info@thestarsaline.com, or is it Stars Align Show? Either one, you can reach us there or on the Facebook page. We will see you.
StarsAlignShow.com.
StarsAlignShow.com. Info@StarsAlignShow.com. Thank you very much. We will see you same time, same place again, knuckleheads. The Stars Align.